Friends, welcome to this online service on the second Sunday of Easter. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Please join me in today's call to worship. In the Easter newness and resurrection of this season, there is hope. In the Easter freedom and joy of this season, there is liberation. In the Easter alleluias and amens of this season, there is grace. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. And we light our candle today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. His light has come again. With the light of heaven poured in and poured out. Let's pray. O God, you came to the disciples and offered them Easter assurance. You came to Thomas and offered him resurrection hope. Come to us in this time of worship and fill us with faith, hope, and love, we pray in the blessed name of the risen Christ. Amen. Let's say the prayer of confession together. Lord God, you made the hearts of the disciples glad with the knowledge of the resurrection of Jesus, your Son. Forgive us because, like them, we find the truth of Easter so hard to believe. Forgive us that we are so easily downcast and given to despair. Forgive us that although we claim to live by the resurrection faith, we so often appear to believe that suffering is simply a tragedy and that death is the end. Forgive us that we take so much convincing of the hope that you give to the world. Come to us, Lord God, in the power of the risen Christ. Take away our crippling doubts and fears, and through your Holy Spirit, bring us to life in your service, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, the tomb is empty. The stone has been rolled away, and there is no darkness now, only light. God continues to restore us. We are forgiven and loved and made new, receiving the gift and promise of new life and resurrection now. So go and share this wondrous news of God's love, of God's grace, of God's mercy. Come to us in Jesus Christ. Friends, you are a forgiven people. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. The reading today is taken from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. In this reading, Jesus appears to his disciples in the upper room. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The word of the Lord.
Most of you have probably realized by now that I have a lot of time for the writings and teachings of the late Eugene Peterson, the man who created the Message translation of the Bible. Some of my own teachers from seminary were profoundly shaped and guided by Eugene personally in their own lives, and so I have had great exposure to his wisdom, and I have found his insights into both pastoral ministry and even more into life and the life of faith to be wonderfully rich and wise and often really down to earth. Peterson had a lot to say about the resurrection and about the place that it has in our faith. In his own words, to the core of his being, he believed that the resurrection does not have to do exclusively with what happens after we are buried or cremated. It does have to do with that, but first of all, it has to do with the way we live right now. Those are words from Peterson's memoir. Well, as you can imagine, Jesus' resurrection was a life-changing event for his first followers. Their encounters with the risen Christ radically changed their lives. And that potentially life-altering impact didn't end when Jesus ascended. As Peterson wisely understood, it continued and even continues today. Now, while Jesus may not be on the loose in quite the same physically present way that he was during those first weeks, he is still very much present and active in this world and in and through the lives of his followers. We believe that when Jesus rose from death, there was a cosmic shift. And because of that, a new kind of life became accessible to anyone who would seek it. We get some of the first glimpses of that new kind of life in these stories of Jesus' appearances to his disciples. And we see even more evidence of it in the stories we have from life in the early church. It is the life that has really always been God's vision for life on this earth. It is the life that we pray for every week when we pray, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Before his crucifixion, that life was found within and around Jesus. So when he died, his followers thought that this incredible life that they had been experiencing with him was gone too. But once he started appearing, it became clear pretty quickly that it wasn't. That cosmic shift meant that after his resurrection, the way of life that they had known with Jesus would expand exponentially. It hadn't ended when Jesus died. Really, it was just getting going. Well, as you have all heard me say before, this is a life that is very much available to us now as we endeavor to follow in Jesus' way ourselves. Peterson calls this living the resurrection. That's what the pursuit of that life is called. And this resurrection life is what St. John is referring to in the final verse from our reading this morning when he talks about us having life in his name. Our reading today actually describes two encounters the first disciples had with the risen Christ. And in them we get to see quite a bit about what this resurrection life is like. As we heard, Jesus appeared to his first disciples when they were hiding away in fear. He appeared and he greeted them with that traditional Hebrew greeting, "Peace be with you." And then he showed them his wounds. Well, of course, their fear was instantly transformed into joy as they realized that it was all true. He was alive again. He shared his peace with them again in the midst of all that excitement, I'm sure. And then he told them clearly that just as God had sent him into the world, he was now sending them. Then he filled each of them with the Holy Spirit to enliven and empower their lives and their mission from that point on. Now, as we listen to this story, you get this sense that Jesus didn't have any time to waste. In just a very short time with them, he convinced them of the truth of his resurrection. He called them and sent them for the mission that would last for the rest of their lives. And he granted them the gift of the Holy Spirit, through whom God would sustain and guide them from that point on. It was a pretty action-packed encounter. Well, his second appearance that we read about in this reading was a little more focused, and specifically, it was focused on the disciple Thomas. Thomas hadn't been there for the first visit, and he'd struggled to accept their story of what had happened. In fact, he told them that unless he saw and touched Jesus' wounds for himself, he wouldn't believe. So a week or so after that first appearance, Jesus comes to them again, greets them again with his peace, and then lets Thomas see and feel his wounds for himself. And of course, John tells us that that was all it took. With that, doubting Thomas believed. Well, beyond the actual events of these two encounters, what does this reading actually show us about the nature of this resurrection life that we're talking about today? We may not get to see and touch Jesus' resurrected body like they did, but we do get to encounter the risen Christ amongst us in other ways. So what do we get to see in these stories that can help us to recognize him with us here, now? Well, remember that those disciples were hiding out in fear. But once he came to them, they truly realized that it was him. And of course, that fear just dissolved. It was replaced by the peace that he offered, by excitement and awe and wonder at seeing him alive again, and by overwhelming joy. Their faith was renewed, and they had great hope that the life that they had known with him would continue. So their future went from feeling like it was very bleak to being very bright. And he sent them into that future with a purpose and a mission to be a part of what God was doing from that point on. So peace and joy, faith, hope, and that sense of purpose and meaning. Those things were all emerging in those moments he was with them. And all of them are some of the hallmarks of this resurrection life that we're talking about. So we need to pay attention when we think that we might be seeing those same kinds of things emerging either in us or around us. Peace and joy, faith, hope, and yes, purpose and meaning. When those kinds of things come to us or to those around us, especially if they start to cluster, or more than one of them is happening at once, like is happening in these stories, that can be a pretty good clue to us that Christ is at work. So watch for them. Be open to the possibility that there really might be more going on than you can see. In his board report a couple of weeks ago, our board chair, Earl, talked about how we begin our board meetings by talking about whether any of us have a sense of what God might be doing around us. Quite simply, we are looking for signs of this resurrection life here and now. And we do that because, well, it encourages us, it keeps us going and gives us a sense of joy in our work. But we also do it because they're important for us to recognize as we attempt to live out our congregation's mission to follow Jesus. I really encourage you to do this, to look for signs of things that might be aspects of that resurrection life happening around you. As you start to watch for them, you may realize that they are actually happening and that they are a little more prevalent than we might at first think. As I was writing this sermon this week, I made a list of the things that I've noticed just over the past week or so. Things that might be signs of that resurrection life happening around me. So here's my list. I offer it as what I hope is a helpful example. I have seen signs of relationships opening up, making it possible for reconciliation to happen within them. I have personally had a sense of encouragement and a deepening sense of connection with a new friend as she and I share little nudges we think we might be getting from the Holy Spirit. I've seen signs of hope beginning to replace despair in the life of someone who's had a really, really hard time. I have seen opportunity for healing as diagnoses are being made and treatment is begun. And I have seen Jesus granting that strange blessing of comfort to those who are grieving the loss of a loved one. Now, all of those are the kinds of things that we see Jesus doing in his life, and they are the kinds of things that are very much a part of this resurrection life. Am I 100% sure that they are signs of him here with us? Not 100%, honestly, but they might be. And I am actually prepared to err on the side of faith and say that I think that it's worth paying attention to them and watching to see if there are more. I do that because I've found that in the process of erring on the side of faith, I often do notice more signs coming. Or at least when I'm more open, I seem to find myself more readily able to notice those signs of resurrection life around me. It turns out that our openness is pretty important in this life that we seek. The risen Christ may have been prepared to walk through literal wooden doors when he was appearing to those first disciples, but he will not charge through the doors of our minds and our hearts. We have to open them to him. And if we do, he happily comes and makes himself known to us. And so I really encourage you to be on the lookout for him, because Jesus is risen. He is very much on the move, and he is bringing this incredible resurrection life to anyone who seeks it. Amen.
Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. The Lord calls us to draw close and examine the wounded hands and feet of the risen one, and to know the depth of his love for us. Let us therefore approach the throne of God in confidence as we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Risen Christ, our eternal Savior, like the disciples, we are gathered together the week after Easter, wondering whether it is true, marveling at the possibility, and daring to hope. Like the disciples, we are sometimes afraid, sometimes full of doubt. But in your extravagant generosity, your boundless love, you appear to us in our fear and love us in our doubts, and grant us the oceans of your peace. Thank you for loving us as we are. Teach us not to hide from our doubt, but to recognize it as a door to mystery and to deeper faith. After all, the disciples' fear became a visitation as they saw you among them, risen and triumphant. Thomas's doubt became a moment of revelation as he saw and touched you and finally believed. Today we pray for all in our society who have no faith. There are so many who live without hope, without knowledge of your resurrection, without your light in their lives. Grant us the courage to live as witnesses to your resurrection, risen Christ. Be light in our world. We pray for all those who find it difficult to believe. Lord knows they are not alone, but in the best of company. Even Christ's own disciples struggled to believe all that they had seen and heard. Loving Christ, it is your presence that removes all fear and erases all doubts. So come and grant the doubting Thomases your presence and peace. And grant to all of us, living Lord Christ, renewed faith, great courage, and your boundless peace. Today, God, we were reminded by your holy word of what people of faith are like. We were reminded of their joy and trust in you. We were reminded of how they care for one another and reach out to help their brothers and sisters. We were reminded of how your presence in their lives conquers their doubts and fears. Lord, work strongly in us and conform our lives to the example of Jesus and all of those with the living faith. Help us walk in your glorious light and rejoice in your saving truth. Gracious God, we recall how the sadness of the disciples was turned to joy and of how their fear was turned to courage by your risen presence. Help us show your present reality to all those around us who dwell in fear and sadness. Help us and the people of Christ everywhere to bring comfort to those who grieve, strength to those who are ill, and blessings to all those in need. Lord, hear our prayer too for those in special need of your presence this day. We ask that your Spirit may touch those we name before you in the silence of our hearts, that your Son might visit them and speak a word of healing, that your nameless servants in this world might bring unto them your comfort and your grace. We especially remember before you we thank you, O God, for your power and presence in our lives. Make us known as a people who share that power and presence, so that the glory we intend to give unto you may be given by all, and so that our joy may be complete in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray as one, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for all of the ways you have given to the life and work of the church this week in the world. Let's pray now to dedicate all of these gifts to God's mission. Living God, you have given us so much in Jesus Christ, hope, joy, and peace. Above all, you have given us life. What can we give in return? If the whole world were ours, it would not be enough. So what little we have, we humbly offer to you. 1,000,000 thanks are due, dearest Jesus, unto you. Amen. One announcement to follow up from Easter Sunday last week and actually Good Friday, and it is an apology to you, our online congregation. We are sorry, but something went amiss technologically for the Good Friday services and the Easter Sunday services. And as you may have discovered, if you access those services by going directly to YouTube, they were not on our channel and visible. They were actually, it turns out, on another channel we have. Didn't realize that was a possibility, but it is. And so if you came to the services through the church website, you were able to see them. But if you go directly to YouTube, you'll know that you weren't. And we are so, so very sorry for that mix-up. They are there where they should have been now on our regular YouTube channel. And if it's not too late and you feel like it, we encourage you to watch them sometime. Again, we are sorry, and we'll endeavor to make sure that doesn't happen in the future. Go now, sent by the one who was sent by God. Walk in the light and testify to the resurrection of Christ. Forgive the sins of all and live at peace with one another. And as you go, may God bless you with life forever. May Christ Jesus breathe his spirit and peace into you. And may the Holy Spirit lead you into the life and light of God. Go now in peace. Go to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
A river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and got saved. Since then I walk in forgiveness. All of my guilt was erased. Chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Goodness, I've tested and tasted your grace. I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Of the Lord.